more often than not, I'm piling through city to city and always leaving with a little bit of guilt in my heart because there are people who are pinging from just meters away sometimes and I just don't have time to catch up with them. Social media enabling us to feel connected and in the vicinity of those people we know in digital spaces, yet sometimes you physically just can't get there. But today I did. Who are you?
I'm Esko. Welcome to Satori Towers.
We've had a conversation in audio many years ago. You think it was at...
I think it was at the Shift Happens conference in New York, Marcus Romer's party, culture, digital, transformation, exploring the future because we don't know how to do it yet.
Was that 2008, 9? I don't know.
Sounds about right, yeah.
That, so what are you doing here? You said you're in Satori Towers.
Yeah. So since we last met, I've kind of gone independent, set up a little company, and we're culture hackers. So our primary mission is to help organizations come into the 21st century, and where that the issues that prevent that from happening are cultural in nature, that's where we're building tools and interventions and... kind of a suite of offerings that help them do that.
It was interesting. I've still got your business card you gave me. It was after a number of cocktails, and I was just about to go to some war-torn place. I nearly said hellhole. Well, I guess anywhere there's war, there's hell. And you were like deadly serious, looked me in the eyes, and you took out a business card, and you said, listen, I know some people in the area. I know some people that might be able to help you. If anything happens, call this number. Then on the back of your card, you wrote International Rescue. It is amazing, actually, how I carried that with me, just in case. Would it have worked?
Yeah, probably. I mean, before I got involved in government, in this culture hackery business, I have a degree in peace studies from Bradford University. So my milieu, if you want, was all this kind of international relation and all sides of it. So all of my peers now, they either work for private security companies or international bureaucracies, UN, things like that. So I do have a network in that zone, and some of those peoples, they are like, you know, you can pay them for kidnap insurance if you want, or if things go south, then they've got networks of local agents that can be called on. That's not really my world anymore, but it's kind of, you never lose those networks.
No, you've got to keep those networks alive. So you mentioned bureaucracy a moment ago. One of the things you said you do is cut through the bureaucracy or train people to work ways around, through, up, over, or just to delete it. How do you do that?
Yeah, the first thing is a recognition that most of the bureaucracies that we come across, they were built according to mental models of the industrial revolutions. So it's like machine model of organization. And if you conceive of things that way, then the humans and the processes with it are just seen as cogs, whereas actually we're now entering into the network age where machine models don't make sense anymore. So there's this transition phase that we need to adapt to. Nobody knows how to do it, but we have a bunch of really interesting new models that allow us to make sense of networked environments. And this kind of thinking comes from a range of different directions. So the guys at MIT, for example, Joey Ito, who runs that, he's got a set of 9 principles that help us think about this. There's new disciplines like user-centered design, which is basically aimed at a more responsive way of doing services with the needs of the users rather than locked into the logics of a bureaucracy, you know, this internal thing. So that's the territory that we live in. And we came from government, and our primary motivation is how can we help government or public value organizations adapt to this new reality?
What kind of things are immediately recognized and achieved through dialing down the bureaucracy?
I'm not sure if it's like a dialing down the bureaucracy, really, but it's adapting the bureaucracy to a new kind of environment. So, for example, in the public sector, the main example of where this has kind of worked and gotten traction is the government digital service in London, or central government. And they have a set of principles that they work by. And the first one on this list of principles says, start with needs, these little asterisks, and then it says, that means the user's needs, not the government needs. And that in and of itself as an idea is such a transformational perspective shift. And it's the kind of thing that we want to, this a new principle that is valid in a networked environment that we want to see how we can embed into other kinds of bureaucratic processes. So that's kind of the trick. I don't know if there's no hard and fast solutions, but it's somehow based around a new set of principles. And underpinning those is the need to be able to change perspectives. And most of the reasons that bureaucracies aren't functioning very well in this new environment is because they're unable to interrogate their own assumptions and get to a place where they can start shifting their perspective on the new realities. Right? This sounds all really abstract at the moment, but that's the primary thing. So our name isn't a mistake. Satori is this Japanese word for the experience of seeing your true nature. That is one of the stepping stones you have to go through to be in a position where you can start interrogating whether your assumptions are still valid and then start rebuilding practice according to the needs of this new environment that we're in. Yeah.
Brilliant. It sounds like a toolkit that can revolutionize.
We hope so. I mean, fundamentally, my Satori moment was when I realized as a public servant, I'm operating in an environment where I'm unable to give value to the citizen for the taxpayer money that they're paying, and so you kind of lose all motivation. You know, I came here to deliver public value. Our goal is that if we can play a little part in moving in doing the 21st century, nobody knows how to do it, but I think we're brave enough to take some risks and do some experiments and figure out some of the steps that others can benefit from in order to do that. So that's our, our motivation.
Do you guys blog or share some of your learnings?
Yeah, we do. My colleague Joe is getting a pretty phenomenal blogging skill. I'm pretty lazy and useless at that. But recently I did the latest one on is about... We're building a tool called culture mapping. There's a guy called Dave Gray who's well known in change circles because he wrote the book Game Storming and The Connected Company. So it's his idea first. We picked up on a very early beta version of it, and we've been refining a process to deploy it. And what it does is it helps make the invisible visible, right? So often when you're undergoing a major transformation, you get to a point where you say, oh, the issue is cultural, right? Culture is really abstract and hard to pin down dimension of any problem. So we're building a tool that de-abstractifies it, if you want, and it takes the conversation from, let's talk about values, to tangible, observable behaviors. So we're creating a tool that gives us the information we need so that we can have a grown-up conversation about what's really going on in an organization. So recently I've done a blog called Making the Invisible Visible, which kind of explains a little bit our journey on that. Right now we've got a beta program, so if people are interested in that stuff, they can kind of get in touch with us and benefit from that, yeah.
So where's the blog and the beta program?
TheSatoriLab.org.
And where can people find you?
Satori Towers is at 22 Windsor Place in Cardiff.
And in the digital spaces?
At the Satori Lab, or I'm at Reinikainen. Yeah, it's phonetic, Finnish, totally easy.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks, Joe, as well.